Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm recording.
Hello everyone, and welcome to everyone's favourite podcast, It's Failing Better, with me, Johnny Pelham, and my wonderful co-host.
It's me, Sean McLaughlin. Thank you so much for listening. How are you, Johnny?
I am very well today. How are you?
I'm alright. This is our third episode in a row that we've recorded. And actually, it's the first one where I felt semi-normal at the beginning of, so...
And we release... This is the one that's coming out first, isn't it? So,
yeah.
So it might, this one might get insane, because that's what tends to happen. As you record, you get more and more weird. So you might be really diving into a weird ep here.
I think so. How have you been? What's your week been like, Johnny? You said you listened to 2 podcasts last week, which I think must be a personal best.
Well, I don't, as previously mentioned, I don't really listen to podcasts because I feel like it's sort of ridiculous format.
Well, it would be like if Cristiano Ronaldo watching non-league football go, I'm the best, why would I watch the worst?
That's such an astute comment, Sean. Yeah.
Thank you.
So I did think there's some tips we could pick up from them.
Okay.
I listened to Off Menu and Have a Word. These are 3 things I noticed about them.
Okay. These are big podcasts. I've been on Have a Word.
Yeah. Have you been on Off Menu?
I think there's apparently my face is up in the office where they say do never ever let that man enter the building.
Have a Word or Off Menu?
Off Menu. Yeah.
Off Menu, because you're quite good friends with Ed Gamble, aren't you?
Yeah, that's not about it.
And you've never been on it.
Yeah, well, I've also never won a fucking Oscar, so I'm not eligible.
Well, obviously he has quite a lot of sort of newer acts, acts with similar profile to you who have been on. But you've never been on.
I'm happy for this knife to be in my back, but I'd rather Johnny Pelham didn't twist it. How about that?
Well, I understand what you're saying, but I feel it's my duty as a friend to twist every knife I can into your back.
Is the lesson that you learnt about how to be a good podcaster not to have Sean McLaughlin on the podcast?
I think it might be.
Okay.
As my role in life is really to be the Brutus to your Julius Caesar. You are heroic. You are going to conquer Gaul, presumably, shag Cleopatra, and I'm going to stand at the back and twist the knife in and kill you.
Perfect.
Yeah. What a wonderful analogy. So the first thing I realised was they very rarely plead for 5-star reviews. Very rarely. I was listening to them.
Serious?
Yeah.
How do they get them then? How do they get 5-star reviews?
It's a mystery to me. I can't see how it could.
Can I tell you, listeners?
Yeah.
Give us a 5-star review. And this, I am not pleading, but I will plead if that gets us one.
Plead, Sean.
Subscribe, follow.
This is the moment for you to plead. I'm a customer, ambivalent about the idea of giving you a 5-star review. How are you going to convince me? I'm in Greg's. I'm buying a Lucozade. I'm about to get a sausage roll. I've got important shit to do. Why am I going to take the time?
Do they sell Lucozade in Greg's?
Yeah, they do.
Do they?
It's Sophie's go-to drink when she's hungover.
Oh, fair enough.
And that's how I know that. But a fact. They sell Lucozade everywhere.
I suppose it's a much more popular drink than I realised.
JD Sports, Wimbledon.
Wimbledon. I doubt they sell it in Well, they probably sell it within Wimbledon, but surely not within the walls of the historic All England Tennis Club. Anyway.
I like afternoon tea. Can I have Lucozade on the side?
I'll have Lucozade, please.
Hold the tea, add the Lucozade. That's what they say.
So you want me to... So you're in Greg's, and I'm begging you for a five-star review.
Yeah. Either right. Would you like to be in person in Greg's, or would you like to be just over the podcast, I think, so that I'm just listening to it.
All right, so you're listening. Oh, so yeah, I'm not literally just hassling people in the street in their day-to-day lives. Going, will you please give me a podcast a five-star review? No, actually, I'm not above that. There's a woman who now does singing on Streatham High Road.
Yeah.
And she sings, and she has a big sign up front going, book me for your wedding.
And that's how singing?
I don't know if she's that good, but maybe she is. I don't know. I suppose I've never listened to her that much. But maybe that's what I should do. Maybe I should just start talking loudly on the middle of the street and just have a sign up going, give my podcast a five-star review.
That's a great idea. That is really a good idea. So you're on the surface of it, you're just a mad, deranged lunatic mumbling to himself.
Yeah, people go,
you look at the
guy?
Sign, yeah, and then they lean in, they start hearing you say, you know, what your opinions are, and they go, God, this guy, I should listen to an hour a week of this man.
yeah. I hope he has a real low life alongside him.
Well, a real sexy low life. I guess that is my role in this podcast, isn't it?
You're a sexy low life, and I'm a minging aristocrat.
And they meet, and humour is born. We birth humour at this podcast.
Yeah, we birth it, and it ain't no C-section.
It is painful, it is messy, and ultimately, it is causing massive damage to the world.
Wipe that placenta off you, and give yourself a five-star review. Yeah, you don't get that on fucking Have a Word, do you? Right.
Off menu. What's on the menu?
Yeah, what's on the menu? Fucking
it's
umbilical.
Placenta.
Umbilical, baby. Chew through it.
Do you like Bobadons or Nan? Irrelevant. I want a humorous baby on there.
I want the molasses of life itself. Born on a crisp new day.
Oh, well, what a horrible beginning. So, what Have a Word, which is clever. They get all their Patreon pleading out in an advert before. I was thinking we could maybe do that.
Nah.
No, you like it inbuilt into the show.
Yeah, I like it. I don't like that.
So you want... All right, I think
it's product
quite...
placement, isn't it? It's product placement.
But the product is their podcast, so it's placed quite appropriately.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it would be... It's better when it's sort of... I like the way we subtly weave it in. Like, I think the listeners don't even know that it's happening.
It's like a sort of hypnosis tape you listen to when you're asleep. It just changes your actions. You're not even really aware of what's happening.
Exactly. And I think a lot of our listeners probably do listen to this when they're going to sleep. Like, oh, I need something comforting and warm, like feeling better. And they put us on where they're just going, just give us a five-star review, you sluts. Just stop being a slut.
Two shrieking banshees. And this is the big one, is they very rarely call their podcast shit. Which I think we could learn from. I think we should get a code for when we think it's shit, we say it to one another, but then the audience don't know that we're saying this is shit, we need to change.
Okay, well, what's the code you've got in mind?
I haven't really got one, but what could a code be?
White House down.
White House down.
White House down.
Trump is in the building.
We're not saying that. I think the problem is we'd be saying Trump is in the building about seven times an episode, and the algorithm would give us a very different sort of listen.
What about, I'm starting to feel hungry, Sean. And then the day we got a guest on, they'll just think, oh, he's hungry. But we know we're saying we are flatlining it. Sean, I'm getting hungry.
Sean, I'm getting hungry. And mine is Johnny, I'm getting hungry.
Yeah, every time we hit the podcast, is getting shit. Ooh, I'm feeling parched.
Bloody hell, I'm absolutely starved. Yeah. I am starving.
I'm on a fast. I'm on a political starvation. I've been for a year now.
One of us saying to the other one, I'm getting hungry.
Yeah.
Or something to that effect. Listeners, this is our code. Between people who listen now. People who join in the future aren't going to know this code. They're all going to know it. All they're going to know is, oh, I've heard about this funny podcast where they're always talking about how hungry they are.
They're the hungriest people in the world.
God, they're starving. Are they calorie counting or something?
How is John so fat when he's always so hungry? That new people listening to this will be bemused and befuddled by that.
Yeah, we're going to get like emails going, I've been listening to your podcast. I think you've both got tapeworm.
Yeah, you can't.
Because you are starving.
All right. So that's
a good one, I think. Yeah, something I'm getting hungry.
I'm starting to... Sean, I'm feeling peckish.
Sean, I'm peckish. Peckish is when it's going like, maybe we should bring it back on the...
Peckish is what it is now.
Peckish is where we are now. Yeah. Which is, it's pretty good, but we need to keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
Hungry as standard is this shit.
Yeah. And then political starvation is is when one of us is being offensive.
I'm a full-blown hunger strike.
Yeah. I'm being force-fed by the prison guards. Is Johnny said something sexist again.
But what I don't like, though, I mean, sort of just bringing it back is when you go, you know, that they don't say the podcast is shit. It's because they don't think their podcast is shit.
Yeah, I think that... What do you mean by that?
Well, did you think their podcasts were shit? Wow. Wowee. But I suppose what I'm saying is maybe either they do think it and they don't say it.
Yeah.
Or they don't think it. And I think anyone who thinks their podcast is good is deranged. Because there's no such thing as a good podcast.
Shush. What are you doing to us, Sean? I was thinking, I always thought podcasts compete with no other form of entertainment because you can't.
They're all shit.
No, but all a podcast has to be is better than someone's internal monologue. And that's why they're so popular.
Interesting.
Because people's internal monologue is so bleak.
Yeah.
And awful that we just have to be slightly better than someone thinking about their own life or themselves. And we can do that.
Yeah, we can do that. You're right, Johnny. You're right, Johnny. I'm full. I'm stuffed. I say that now, Johnny. I am stuffed to the gills.
Bring me the vomit bucket because I want to keep eating, but I physically can't. Am I a Roman emperor? Because I've got a big bit of chicken, but I can't fit it in.
You're absolutely right, Johnny. You're absolutely right. So you know what, listeners? This is a fucking great podcast, and you're lucky to have it. And you know what else? You need to give us a 5-star review, and you need to sign up to the Patreon at patreon.com/failingbetter. You'll get an extra hour of this shit every week.
And 2-hour specials of us doing stand-up comedy. And what else?
And all the other shit. All the other episodes that we've done.
Yeah, you got like 30 hours. I don't mean that many. But you got some hours. And we talk to our patrons. They write things in. We respond. It's great. It's the best community in the world. It's being studied by sociologists of how a community should be.
Yeah, sociologists.
Yeah, they study communities.
At which university?
The University of Warwick.
Whoa, that's a pretty good red brick university.
Pretty goddamn good university. And they're all studying for the failing better community. And they're seeing us as benevolent, wise leaders.
Yeah.
There's pictures of us going, like, do you believe... Like, the question they have is, should we live in an authoritarian society or should we live in a democratic society? They both have negatives and they both have positives. And the conclusion they've reached is benevolent dictator and we are the model of which that is built.
Yeah, it's like the old school caste system, but with a sort of kooky edge.
It's a kooky edge. People say, is it a cult? I say, no, it's not a cult. And if you ask that question again, you're not allowed in.
Yeah, it's not a cult. It's not a... Look, is it a cult? Yes. Is it a sex cult? Unfortunately, no. But we are working on it.
Not yet. Not yet. The great hope.
that's still a way away. We're at first base with our listeners. Let's put it that way.
I think that's right. What is first base again? A bit of kissing?
I think a bit of kissing.
Kissing, light rubbing? Light rubbing over the clothes?
I think it's light petting.
Light petting. Well, let's move to heavy petting quite soon. I'm feeling hungry, Sean.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny, these pangs just come on in it very quickly.
Oh, God. I'm remembering I've not had any breakfast.
I thought Shreddies was meant to keep hunger locked up till lunch. Look at me here, grumble, grumble.
So how have you had a good week?
I went to the National Railway Museum last week, Johnny.
That's your favourite thing to do. Haven't we talked about this on the pod before?
We have talked about it on the pod.
You love trains.
Yeah. Yeah. And I went, and it's fucking... It is so clearly the best attraction in the country. I think it's, there's nothing better.
Talk me through your day. What's it like? What are you doing?
I turned up.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this, actually. I'm going to tell you something that is relevant. I turned up, and as you walk in... And you have to walk past the gift shop first. I looked in the gift shop and it's very impressive. And I thought, I might buy a new jumper.
Ooh. With a train on it?
Because I'm in the market for a jumper. I love this museum. I'm going to go for it.
Has your jumper got a train on it?
I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it, Johnny. Go to the museum. Amazing. They've got the Mighty Mallard, Flying Scotsman, all this cool old shit. They've got like a carriage from like they've got a science carriage, which is what they used to do to measure, like do scientific things in like Victorian times.
Why would they do it on a train carriage?
Well, I guess they were doing train operations or something. They're measuring something else.
But surely you want to be in a moving vehicle when you're doing a scientific experiment.
Well, I don't think they were trying to like pasteurize stuff. I think they were probably doing train related experiments or speed related experiments.
Because there was that theory, wasn't there, that if you went over like 100 mile an hour, you'd die? Like back before anyone had done it.
Really? Was that theory?
Well, maybe that's a myth, but I definitely
heard people say that. My theory is if you go over 100 listeners on a podcast a week, you die.
Well, luckily, we are miles away from that.
Do give us a 5-star review.
So what do you do? Do you just walk around looking at the trains and like, oh, that train? Like, what's the...
You just look around, walk around the train. And they've got like, they had like freight trains that were used when they were building the Channel Tunnel. They just have loads of... They just basically have amazing amount of trains all through the history of trains, from like modern day to old day. They've got a Japanese bullet train.
Do the trains offer a glimpse of that society and how it was developed and the role of the train in changing
society?
They
talk a lot about that. Yeah, they talk a lot about the birth of suburbia, the birth of... Stuff like that through, like the idea of the commuter was invented by train companies.
That's interesting. I mean, the sociology. I keep talking about sociology this episode, I don't know why, but the sociology of trains would be fascinating.
Yeah, and also just trains are really cool. And also some of those old steam ones, like the Mallard was there, which was
you're
the fastest
such a
one.
Nerd. You look, you're so
fuck
excited.
Off. It's I a tra- am.
I am. It does nothing for me to.
They're huge. They're huge, Johnny.
How big are they? Taller than you?
Of course they're taller than me. They're probably twice my size. And half my width.
So that's exciting. So you just walk around. How long did you stay in the museum, do you think?
Probably an hour and a half.
That's a long time.
And they've got a big model train there as well. They've got a big model train thing, which is very cool.
And
I've always thought
does that struggle with anorexia and things like that? Cocaine habit? Hello.
Look, those models might be hungry, but I sure as shit ain't.
Kate Moss train. I just love the idea of Kate Moss dressed as a train. It's a funny
thing. Okay, I'm starting to get a bit peckish, actually.
Kate Moss dressed as a train is great.
Okay, well, your head is not where we all live, Johnny, so why don't you nip that in the bud?
All right, I'm back on track.
Listen. I'm finding it hard to judge my hunger level at the minute. I've got to say, I'm finding it. Yeah, I could eat, but I could also wait an hour. Yeah. Look, shut the fuck up. Model trains, by the way, I would like to put a little asterisk next to model trains because we'll come back to that later.
Will we? So what happened in the gift shop? That's you left that.
I bought a fucking jumper and it doesn't fit and I fucking hate my life.
Why doesn't it fit?
It does fit. It's a bit too small.
Does it have a train on it? Like Thomas?
No. It doesn't have Thomas on it. Do you think I've bought... Yeah, it's a bit too small. I suppose it was designed for 4-year-olds.
But why... Why are they train museum, why are they selling jumpers that don't have trains on it?
They've got a Mallard and Flying Scotsman jumpers with like their... engine numbers and stuff.
And have you got that?
Yeah, I've got a Mallard one.
Have you?
Yeah.
That's been so weird.
It's not.
So what is the number of the Mallard? The flying Mallard?
I can't remember. Have you ever seen the flying Mallard?
No. When
I'm going to send you this. You're going to be blown away.
I don't even really... Is it just like... Why is it a famous train?
Because
it was
the fastest train in the world for a while.
Wow.
And it is enormous. Yeah, that's what it's got. It's got 4468. The LNER class. It is... honestly, the scale of it is immense. Look, I'm just going to get it up to you now.
And
I've got its Wikipedia page on.
Every time I go on the internet, my laptop freaks the fuck out.
Okay, well then we won't look at it. It's a big old blue train.
How fast does it go? 104 miles an hour.
I think it went... it broke... Wait, on the 3rd of July... 1938, Mallard broke the world speed record for a steam locomotive at 126 miles an hour, 203 kilometres an hour, which still stands.
Still stands? For a steam one, though.
For a steam one, yeah. It's like saying, oh, it's the most successful silent movie ever.
Yeah.
No, most successful movie.
So, and then there was just about to be a war, the Second World War, which would have obviously meant
not
a lot
in 20, of people. Not in 23.
Oh, I thought you said 38 for some reason.
Did I say 38?
I don't know if you did. I don't know where I got 38 from.
I don't know where you got it from either, my boy.
I was in a...
I did say 38.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was
no,
it 38?
It went at 126. I got those confused. Yeah, so it was a year before the war. And God. Hitler still thought he could have a pop, even
what
though we've
wanker.
Just done that. What a thick idiot. Can I just say, listeners, we didn't make this clear. We think Hitler was a big doo doo head. And,
well, let's not go too extreme. And he obviously it's domestic policy. I hate people who talk about Hitler's domestic policy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's irrelevant.
I hate all that.
Yeah, what that pro Hitler stuff.
Yeah, I hate all that pro Hitler shit.
I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm almost certainly.
I hate off menu and they're pro Hitler. Pro Hitler studs.
And have a word, Stalinist cult.
Oh, give me a break. He killed 40 million people.
Yeah. Look, we get it. You know, Lenin might have been a good guy, but by the time Stalin got in power, any hope for the working people had been destroyed.
Yeah. Oh, is that it? Is that what you think you've built? A little Politburo? No, you don't want that.
Yeah. Have a word. We're always banging on about that, aren't they?
Well, I'm fucking hungry, man.
What I was going to say, this is a question that might not be right for this podcast, and you probably aren't the right person to talk about it. But
that makes it much better.
How did Germany get so militarily superior to all the other European countries?
Well, in such a short space of time.
Yeah, because they literally. I was reading somewhere they like invaded like. Again, like somewhere like Switzerland, not Switzerland, obviously, famously not Switzerland, somewhere like Austria, but in like 20 days or something. Like, it's crazy how no one went, this crazy man keeps building tanks. Maybe we should do something about it.
Well, I suppose they probably did do that. I think they probably did do that.
But just too late.
Well, that's the whole thing with them.
Neither of us really know enough.
No, when what's his name got the paper and said, "Oh, we're gonna," because there was worry about war across Europe for years before, I think, because they knew that this guy had taken power and he was building a huge army, and it was Chamberlain went over there and was like, "Oh yeah, I've made him sign a treaty that Hitler just went, well, I don't give a fuck about your treaty."
Which,
by the way, I'm surprised more world leaders don't do, because it literally doesn't mean anything. It only means things if you follow it.
I couldn't agree.
I suppose they're a big country with huge industrial facilities and a massive population. I suppose
they're like a third bigger than France in terms of population, aren't they? But France, I guess France put up a bit like a good fight, and I guess also they're in Italy. Maybe I'm just stupid.
No, I just think that they were a huge industrial powerhouse anyway. With a massive, I think their population, like they're definitely the most populous country in Europe, aren't they, by a long way?
I think so. But how much, let's Google that, population of Germany.
They dwarf even us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it's like 80 million, but I might be completely wrong about that. 83.2 million. So that's only like 10 more million more than the UK.
I mean, look, if the Prime Minister just said, from now on, everyone is in the army, we're going to offer amazing things. If you're in the army, that's the best thing to be. And everyone joined it. We'd probably have a massive mega army that could do damage in about 5 years.
Totally. But if Scotland started talking about how they're going to have a massive army, I think someone in England would be like, should we also get our army a bit good? Like, you know.
I don't know. I suppose it was a different era, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, if anyone is German or French or anywhere in Europe and has any understanding of why Germany was able to dominate so much, Email in at failingbetterpod@gmail.com.
They were all on amphetamines as well, I think. A lot.
Hitler was on coke, wasn't he?
They were all like on amphetamines and on drugs to like meant that they could do a walk that should have taken 18 hours to 8 hours or something.
Oh, you mean all the soldiers? I didn't realise that.
I think a lot of them were. I think this is sort of recent research has sort of suggested that they might have been.
I mean, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Because you would just give them... If you want someone... We've all been at a house party at 3 a.m. with someone on coke. That guy would be good in a war.
Yeah, he would be good in a war.
Like, he stood by the microwave telling you about why fucking...
I'll surrender. I'll surrender. Just stop talking about Blur versus Oasis.
You went to the train museum.
Went to the train museum. Bought the jumper. I think the jumper might. I'll wear it in the next Patreon episode.
That's nice. Did you get an erection at any point when you were looking at trains? Is this a sexual thing?
I didn't get an erection.
Is that a new thing that you've been talking about working with that with your therapist, haven't you? So that's really positive.
Yeah, I have been. That's what my therapy sessions are mainly about. Is my sexual obsession with trains.
So
how I found the strikes very difficult, but in a way a good time to sort of reassess my life and where I'm going.
So what's your, as a train advocate and lover, what's your view on Mick Lynch? Because he's taking trains off the tracks, which is obviously a massive blow to you and your sexuality and your sexual urges. But he also is doing it for the rights of workers. How do you balance those two?
Well, I suppose long term he's doing it so we have more trades.
Yeah.
But short term he's taking the trades away. So, I'm sort of between a cock and a hard place.
With the name of my next Edinburgh show.
Cock and a, between a cock and a hard cock.
Yeah. It's a limp dick, my face, and then a hard dick. That's the poster sorted.
Between a cock and a hard place. That is genuinely the funniest poster idea I've ever seen. Johnny Pelham's new poster. The guy does really intelligent, thought-provoking work. Oh, God, I could eat a full roast dinner. I don't know. I could eat a full roast.
So has anything else happened this week?
No, I went. I went there and I was going to talk about the model trains.
Oh, yes.
Now, they had a big old model train going there.
Yeah.
Like,
Yep.
It's better every time you say it. Because we know how much in your head you're enjoying it. Which is all that matters.
I'm loving it. Anyway, continue. I think if you want to get through this, you have to not say model train, otherwise I think I'll have to say Kate Moss. So I think you have to find a way around.
The problem is, all right. Miniature train set.
Yeah.
Is that all right? Miniature train set. And I've always thought that if I got very rich and had a lot of time on my hands, that's the sort of indulgent hobby I'd develop.
That says a lot about you, but I think you're probably right.
What do you mean it says a lot about me? It says a lot about cool people.
A lot of people who become millionaires think, I'm going to do loads of coke and get a yacht and thing. You think, I'm just going to make little trains in my basement.
Well, I've done all that. I've done all that stuff, but I've never built a proper train set.
You're always on yachts.
It's like my life's like Succession.
Yeah.
It's cancelled. did you...
Has Succession been cancelled?
No, of course it hasn't.
Oh, right.
Did you read when Rod Stewart like presented his train set to the world, and apparently incredible. It's like one of the best ones ever, and all these enthusiasts were like, I can't believe Rod Stewart's built it. But he's like, yeah, I've been doing it for like 40 years, it's my hobby, because he's got all this money and time, and he's basically built an entire New York with like intricate trains in it.
Money plus time equals train set.
A formula, an
equation as old as time itself. Well, as old as the train's been around. In caveman times. What the fuck is this equation? Money plus time equals train saving.
The level of your patter today, man. You are a fucking weird form.
It's because it's the third app's done me. Anyway, so you're looking at a Kate Moss train set and you're feeling excited.
Yeah, I'm feeling excited because
just come on, let's get through this anecdote.
I've done it, I've finished it. The anecdote's over.
End of anecdote. Is it like Rod Stewart?
No, there's no anecdote. You asked me to say something, so I said something. I'd like to have a model train set, and I'd build all of South London on model trains.
Is that what you do?
Yeah, probably. If I had like a, if I had £5 million just sitting there and I had three months free, I'd
Patreons,
try that.
I hear a boogle. If you can,
remind them about other podcasts, please. don't remind our listeners that other podcasts are available.
If you can, just basically give us £5 million so Sean can play with trains.
Yeah, give us £5 million so I can play with trains. What a great Patreon idea.
Actually, you need to give us £10 million. Actually, you need to give us like £15 million.
Actually, you need to give us £1 billion. If we're asking for ridiculous sums of money, why not go the whole
hog?
That's
very astute, very astute.
What would you do? Like, if you've got 5 million and 3 months spare, what do you do? What's the first thing you do? Probably lose it.
Yeah, down the back of a sofa.
Oh, no.
Drop it and just chuck that sofa. Get rid of that sofa. Oh, no. I think I'd just go crazy.
But do you have any hobby? Do you have any things like that? Like, beyond just, like, decadence and trips and... You know, do you have any like long held? Oh, that would be a nice thing to be into.
No, I think the only version of that is I'd probably go traveling, but that isn't. I don't have anything like that where I'd be like, oh, I want to a jigsaw or something.
Hmm.
Like I'd go traveling. I think for 6 months.
Yeah.
Spend it all. Become a bin man again.
Again. I think if you went traveling for 6 months, it would not cost you £5 million.
You're not seeing the places I'm going, Sean.
Where are you going?
First stop, the moon. Second stop, I'm on the moon. I'm looking at Mars going, we can get there.
For £4.5 million quid?
A day's research into that, I'm out of my money. I'm stuck on the moon. Because I'm trying to build a thing on the moon. I've only made a bit of the journey. We can get to Mars. I'm halfway there. And then, so that's what I do with 5 million. I try a failed venture to Mars.
Oh, well, that's good. I'd just build trains.
Similar, I guess. We're both interested in travel.
Both interested in mechanics and engineering.
Yeah.
What have you been up to, Johnny? Have you done anything recently?
What have I done this week? Did some gigs, which was very funny. Quite funny, not very funny. I went to watch non-league football. This week,
did you say non-league or nun league? Because it sounds like you might have. Did you go watch some nuns play football?
Yes. Okay. Versus the nuns versus the priests in the old
El Clasico,
the game of God. And the nuns won again.
Did they?
Yeah, 8 in a row. So
they got great facilities though, haven't they? Those nuns.
Great facilities. They all wear Newcastle home kit. I'm starving.
Fuck me. It's like Ramadan. I can't eat. I need a meal.
I'm wasting away here.
I'm absolutely... God, it's like the machinist.
What did you do? Do you have anything interesting?
I've already said what I've done. My bit is over, Johnny.
What Your about the birds? Let's talk about the birds.
I talked about them in the last episode.
Did you? All right, let's talk about the birds.
Still. Sorry, can you hear that? My wife's boiling a kettle. Listeners, my wife is boiling a kettle.
What a complex woman.
What a complex life I'm leading. Yeah. Just the urban sprawl and its ins and outs.
Oh, my word.
Johnny, what's happened with you then? So you did you say something funny had happened at your gig that you might be able to talk about?
Did a gig at Newcastle.
I'm laughing already.
It's pretty good. And I'm doing Dry January, as we know, which is going very well. I'm really enjoying it.
I am genuinely having one of the wettest Januaries I've ever had.
Are you really?
And my wife is doing Dry January, and I'm not.
That's quite mean.
I didn't decide to...
It's quite like to drink loads when you know your partner's not drinking. In my head, you're like,
I'm not like doing it like.
Yeah,
I'm not like standing outside her work with a tinny and flicking her V's.
Got 6 Stellas and you're just necking them. Hey, you can't have any of this. Why don't you have your water?
I went to a Wetherspoons on a Saturday night.
Feels like you're having a real crisis at the moment. What's
Maybe
going
I
on
am.
Night?
No, I went to a birthday party there.
Who the fuck had a party?
Matt Ewins, comedian Matt Ewins. It was great.
That thing to do. But
I'm
to
not joking. I was drinking Green King IPA, cask ale, 3.6%. It was £1.25 a pint.
Fuck off. How? Really?
It was absurd. That's I was just on that all night. It's brilliant.
I mean, it's not like horrible, is it?
No, it's not horrible.
That's
amazing. It's not amazing. Like, it's not the best, but it's fine.
Yeah, but for 1.25.
I mean, you can get Guinness for less than £3 in a Wetherspoons. We were on Holloway Road. Like, it was. I don't think I spent £20 all night.
I kept ordering
chips as well, just because we could.
Every time you order some chips, you get 50p. Can I tell you about the time, I think I have told about this, when we snuck booze into a Wetherspoons?
Yeah, you have told that utterly depressing and depraved story. Is that the one, the Holland Tringham one? The one in Streatham High Road?
No, it was in Bristol. We were in Bristol for a wedding. And we got some tins and then it started raining, so we snuck up.
I mean, how much would even a bottle of wine cost in Wetherspoons? There must be £10 bottles there.
Yeah, definitely.
Probably less.
I wouldn't be surprised at all, but at this gig, there were two of us were doing Dry January.
Mm-hmm.
Someone hadn't drank for 2 years, and the compere was like, I really want a drink. So the MC was like, oh, get a drink to me.
Wait, and who said that? Sorry, I'm confused. The other person doing Dry January hadn't...
He hadn't drank. So there were three of us. One person hadn't drank in 2 years.
Okay. And they were totally teetotal.
Totally teetotal. Me and two others hadn't drank in January because we were in Dry January. Mm-hmm. And the MC was like, let's have a drink. And then by the first section, the act who was doing Dry January had started drinking. And by the end of the gig, the person who hadn't drank for 2 years was drinking. Like, it was crazy. Like, all my allies fell apart in that room.
I'm surprised that you didn't fall. I assumed that you would be the first domino to fall there.
I haven't drank. And really didn't... and they went out to like 4 a.m. and were on Zampu. Because the thing is, you don't stop drinking and then have a pint.
No.
Even the guy who hadn't drank for 2 years said to me, he said, yeah, I'm going to really try and drink consciously, so I might have like a beer or two.
It's not going to happen.
He's out till 4 a.m. drinking something.
After a gig in Newcastle. Like, it's not going to happen.
It was so fun, though, just to see just everyone collapse so quickly. And it just took the MC to be like, come on.
Oh, that's so funny.
That's how so flimsy funny. People's...
How is your Dry January going, then? Do you think you're going to maintain it?
Definitely. I think I'm going to do longer. Because I did like 8 months a few years back. And I feel I'm probably going to do some... I'm not putting pressure on myself to be like, I'm definitely doing 8 months on any time. But I'm definitely doing Dry January. And then I don't think I'm going to... I think I'm going to do the Carly Rae Jepsen sober. So
I reckon 3 songs in, you're reaching for the bottle.
Yeah.
I want a full bottle of Jack Daniels, please.
Yeah, what's your strongest vodka?
Shot of the house tequila, please. I think, when's Carly Rae Jepsen?
Mid-Feb. I'm excited for it.
So you're going to do that sober? There's going to be a lot of kids there. There's going to be a lot of hustle and bustle. I think you're going to want a drink to take the edge off.
I mean, there's a chance I'm just not going to go. Because when I bought those tickets, I wasn't thinking, oh, I'll do them sober. But now, I think I might. Because I'm so enjoying not drinking. It's just, I just love not having a hangover, waking up, having productive days. It's just a lot better.
Well, that's
really
good. I mean, my thing is I'm not really drinking to excess. Like, even Saturday, and I sort of billed to my wife. I was like, I'm going to get fucking hammered. Yeah. This is going to be... And I sort of just went home at like 11:30.
Oh, wow, that's really sensible. What time did you start, though? Did you get there at like 8 a.m.?
Yeah, we'd had 3 full meals. I maybe got there for 7.
Oh, that's incredibly reasonable. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm feeling it a bit. But also, I don't. The one thing with Wetherspoons, either it's saving grace or it's greatest problem, is they don't have music.
Yeah.
And I felt like on that night, if there'd been loud music playing, I would have felt more. I probably would have drank quicker and.
Yeah, got out.
And got out, yeah.
My mates, on Friday and Saturday, I met up with mates in Newcastle, and both times they went out to like 4 a.m, and I didn't. And I felt very happy with that decision, because both times I got messages the next day being like, I'm so fucking hungover.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I was in bed anyway doing nothing till noon, but my head wasn't hurting whilst I did that.
Well, I do, my main thing is I can't get a hangover unless I know I've got the entire next day free.
They are, it's such a cliche, but they are just so bleak in the 30s, aren't they?
And the thing is, I had planned my Sunday as if I was hungover, and I did it without a hangover. And Sunday was the best day of my life.
What got up on Sunday? Like, best day of your life. Best day of Sean's life.
Best day of my life. Got up.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, this doesn't make it the best day of my life, but my wife was away.
Well, the marriage problems, that's what that means to me.
She was away seeing some friend of hers, some personal trainer in Essex. I don't know what it is. She goes every Sunday, she brings him flowers. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. She doesn't like you talking about it, does she?
Had breakfast with her.
Yeah.
Watched match of the day, the highlights of the previous night's football.
Great.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's better watching it the next day because I don't really trust Ian Wright's analysis. So what? I sort of
Ian Wright is the modern day Aristotle. That's my belief.
Well, I wouldn't trust Aristotle's analysis either on Brighton versus Liverpool.
On the low block Newcastle used to play.
Played God of War Ragnarok for 5 hours.
You were talking about... When you going to play it last...
I played a bit of it over Christmas. And I played it for the first time in a couple of weeks. Played it for like 5 hours.
Loved and what it. What is it? Have we talked about this before?
Yeah, we have talked about it.
All right, let's not go into...
But it's very good. Really enjoyed it. Ran a bath.
Wouldn't you say when you're playing God of War, you're thinking I am a God of War? Like, do you think that's why people enjoy it?
My problem is I'm constantly aware of how unmuscly I am compared to this league character. I'm always like, fucking hell, it must be interesting to be
How's the workout going?
Talk about that, actually. We'll talk about that in a bit. There's nothing to talk about. I'm still doing arm stuff. I'm doing a bit of my exercises. I'm working on my arms.
Yeah.
And I'm doing like sit-ups.
What are you lifting? By the way, I'll just say this. You could say any number here and I have no idea what it means. What are you lifting, Sean? 80 RPS?
I don't even know what I'm lifting. I'm using resistance bands. What's funny about that? You bet you don't even know what a resistance band is, do you?
I do. I know it's like a thing you tie around and then you pull it and it's your own body weight. But just the idea, of course you're using a resistance band.
The problem with resistance bands is every time I go online and look for resistant band exercises, it's all for 75-year-old women.
Yeah, that's exactly who it was designed for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's what I'm using at the minute, and I'm doing my prison towel one, as I said. And I've got one weight that's like, it's a few kilos. I can't remember what it is. I'm doing that. I'm lying on my bed and pushing that up.
I'm loving this. Can we get a video of it next time we do it to put it on the paper?
100%. If a video footage ever came out, I would leave the country immediately.
Right, if you join our Patreon thing, I'm going to buy a drone with the money and we're going to fly outside Sean's window and just take footage of him working out.
Can I just say, I think the funniest thing would be Johnny trying to get a drone to work. I mean, that would be funnier than anything I'm doing.
And something in Iraq somehow.
Oh, fucking hell. Huh? You crash into Kofi Annan's head.
Break up the UN. UN think it's a terrorist attack. And they just cut to me, like a hard cut to me, just looking confused in my back garden. I'll just try to get into Sean's.
So, yeah, anyway, greatest day of my life. Had a big walk around the park. After I played God of War, big walk around the park, treated myself to a little coffee.
Oh, that's nice.
Your microphone's just gone off, I think.
Oh, fuck it, has. How has that happened?
I don't know. This episode's been a fucking clusterfuck, hasn't it? I am starving, Johnny.
No, I've come back. It's back, hello.
It's not back.
What?
Oh, yeah, now it's back.
Sorry, everyone.
So I want you to formally apologise to the listeners again.
I would like to apologise to listeners for my microphone stopping working. What happened was I've been sat this whole, for 3 hours now, because we've done three back-to-back hours, on some bubble wrap has been my seat. And the bubble wrap...
And it's all popped.
And it gave way on me, and I pulled out. A lot of podcasts are really good studios.
Yeah. I just want to say this, Johnny. I can't really get my head around what you just said. Are you on like a big roll of bubble wrap?
Yeah, like a big bubble wrap. Because I'm in the attic with the birds and the pigeons again and the rats.
Yeah.
And my only seat up here is bubble wrap. And my ass is killing. Because bubble wrap is not comfortable to sit on. So I was trying to move my... It is my left bum cheek that is in agony. So I was trying to pivot to put more weight on the right one. And in doing so, I unplugged my microphone, and for that, I can only apologise.
Can I ask, is your original sound on?
No, it went off when it turned off.
Yeah, see, now you're clear again.
Really?
Yeah, now you're crystal clear.
Well, they might have missed the whole of that apology then.
They wouldn't have missed it. It just would have been delivered in a sort of weird static way, which I think probably suits the nature of it.
Yeah, so if you can imagine me... Is there any greater advert for a Patreon than the fact that the co-host is sat on bubble wrap?
Look, you have to donate. You have to donate.
So Johnny can buy a chair. If we get enough patrons, I'll buy a chair for next week. And that will improve the quality of the podcast because I won't pull out the microphone trying to move my ass. But what a good ass.
Is it?
I think I've got a pretty good bum.
I think I might die of starvation if we carry on. So I think we should wrap this one up. What do you think, Johnny?
I think that sounds good. Let's do that.
Genuinely, listeners, what a ride. We got a great guest coming up later in the week, doing two this week. Isn't that exciting?
Very exciting. Woohoo!
Woohoo! And Johnny might have a chair next week.
I doubt it.
And I'm going to wear my new jumper on the Patreon episode next week.
So, and you're going to get stacked too. I'm so excited to see Muscly Sean.
Well, the thing is, I think there's a limit to how stacked I can get. I just want to get a little bit toned and a little bit, not because of my freakish height. A lot of it, I think, is you do, in order for me to get really shredded, I'd have to eat so much food.
Yeah, you'd have to eat, and it's all like meat, and you have to eat protein, isn't it?
I'd have to just eat so many chickpeas.
I'd love for you to become like a gym man, like someone who talks about like fuel when they're talking about food.
I'm just fine.
Sean, become a gym
boy.
I don't
like that look. I don't like really massive bloke. I think they
look let me say this, Sean. How convenient. I also don't like looking attractive or having eyes that work.
Do you know what I hate? Large penises.
I've always said that. I believe like the Greeks believed. A little dick is a sign of intelligence. And let me tell you, my IQ is high.
The key thing is I've got a very, very high IQ. Thanks for listening, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we sort of didn't enjoy it. But
no, why is it? It's been my favourite ever podcast. With
has
you,
it?
Sean, my ally, friend and colleague.
Thank you, Johnny. Jokes are funny. Wisdom is wise.
Is wise. A lot of people say wisdom's not wise. Those people are fucking wrong. Or wisdom's so wise.
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at failingbetterpod or at failingpod, isn't it, on Twitter?
Yeah.
Send us an email. Sign up to the Patreon. Give us a review. Subscribe. Be nice to everyone.
Unless they're a fascist.
In that case, try and stop them being fascist.
Or take the microphone out of their hand.
Wow. Another gauntlet laid down by Sir Jonathan of Pelham. Johnny, get off the bubble wrap. You're off the clock, baby. Woo-hoo. Thank you very much, listeners.
Bye. God bless.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.